thank your pastor for an opportunity to come back to Chauvin. It's been a few years. I think it was June of 2015, although it might have been June of 2016. I'm not sure. But anyway, too long. And it's great to see old friends again and reconnect. The Lord is good. And I wanted just to start while I'm talking in the introductions, just letting you know we're here to say thank you. We really are. We thank the Lord for you. And we're very, very grateful for your friendship, your support, your encouragement, your prayers, to know that there are prayer meetings going on all over the place, different days of the week, and that you're praying for missions. It just, it means more than we can say, and it means more than you realize. I mean, I know you realize how important it is, but you really don't realize. So thank you so very much for that. Now, I usually would sort of make presentation and preaching together in one, and I just couldn't make that work today. So what I want to do is just start with an opening by presenting to you what we've been doing, just giving you an update, and then we'll, if we have time after that, we'll go to the Word of God, okay? So actually, I have one little family thing to report. I just realized. So I got to go like this. This means next slide, right? Yeah, that's my mother, and that's our great-granddaughter. Great-granddaughter. We have 3 married kids, 10 grandchildren, and our oldest granddaughter got married a couple of years ago, and then she gave birth to Charlotte this spring. So here's great-great-granddaughter and great-great-grandmother meeting for the very first time. And I love that picture, you know. I could stand and look at that for the rest of the morning. Wonderful. Wonderful. So you may not be aware, but we have moved from RAN, from Restricted Access Nations. The fellowship asked if we would move over into Global Ed. Global Ed used to be run by Irving Witt. It's now under the direction of Dr. Kirk Kaufelt, who's there in that picture. And Global Ed partners with 50 different, at least something around 50, ministry training centers around the world and sponsor students that need help in sponsoring. And they've just put together a 3 or 4 minute video that introduces Global Ed. They've asked me to come on as their missions equipping specialist, and Lois and I will be serving into it as the opportunities arise in different parts of the world. But let's just take a moment and watch the video. This hasn't been seen by anybody else yet. This is first in Canada. So maybe you can give us a little appraisal of it afterwards. Or I just saw it myself 2 days ago for the first time.
Global Ed is the equipping arm of PAOC International Missions. We believe that one of the most fruitful ways that we can be on mission with God is to equip those called to be part of God's work in the world so that they can be fruitful in ministry. We exist to make ready for service leaders who will make disciples everywhere, build and multiply communities of faith, and advance the kingdom of God into all sectors of society for His glory. We collaborate in the equipping mandate with a dynamic team of Canadian global workers and an energized international network of church partners. We currently serve 50 international ministry training centers. Global Ed provides comprehensive support for these centers and their programs. We conduct strategic consultation with leaders, raise funds for capacity building projects, support the placement of effective teachers, and help to assure quality learning for students. These equipping centers have produced an army of workers that continue to lead the rapid expansion of the church, many sacrificially taking the good news to the unreached. These equipped national workers are the fruit of our collaborative partnerships and the expression of our God-given vision. The Timothy Fund program is an effective way of investing in the equipping of national workers. Students filled with passion for serving God in ministry but who do not have the means to pay for their fees receive scholarship support for their studies. This is not only a great blessing for the students, but helps our partner schools collect the tuition revenue needed to make them stronger and help them to grow. We are so thankful for generous donors who value investment in equipping national church leaders. 2019 marks 10 years that the Timothy Fund has provided scholarships. The return on this investment is eternal. This year, we are launching the Global Ed Institute, which will be housed at Summit Pacific College. The Institute is a vehicle that will provide global and Canadian mission equipping solutions. There's an urgent need to provide ministry training for those serving as pastors who have never participated in any biblical ministry training. Our objective in establishing the Ministry Essentials Training Program is to create a structured, non-formal ministry training initiative which will equip leaders who have little or no access to formal theological education. The training will be biblically and theologically foundational, practical in orientation, flexible for purpose of delivery, and provide a reputable certificate upon completion. The Ministry Essential Training Program will ensure that students are equipped for fruitful ministry and battle the danger of uninformed doctrine and practice that can arise when church leaders are not biblically grounded through training. Another focus for the Global Ed Institute is the equipping of Canadian global workers. Training programs will ensure relevant pre-departure training and ongoing in-service learning for those called to global mission work. The Institute will connect with our Canadian Bible colleges and provide an opportunity to extend equipping for global mission work to international venues. It'll also be a catalyst for the development of new global worker training programs, such as Teaching English as Mission and Business as Mission. Our prayer is that our heart for the mission of God and our engagement in equipping will initiate and grow missional fellowships globally. We must be global Christians with a global vision because our God is a global God. Expanding the provision of support for equipping work through Global Ed is a vital part of our vision to make disciples everywhere for the glory of God. This is why we need your help. The effectiveness that Global Ed has realized and the potential for even greater impact in the future is dependent on the prayer and the financial support of individuals and churches that are prompted to invest in national leaders. Donate to our Global Ed operations or projects and provide scholarship support for the Timothy Fund. Make an equipping difference through us.
And there's our team there. Thank you. So that's what Global is about, and so we still have a passion and a heart for RAN, the Restricted Access Nations, but it's going to be expressed through working with more training institutions and making sure that they get that vision as they're training people around the world. And by the way, this is the real face of missions, not all the Caucasians that were in that production. It was almost all entirely Caucasian faces. The real new face of global outreach is no longer white European Caucasian people. It's growing into the rest of the world. That's a wonderful thing to see. Like up there, there was the Indonesians that we had trained. This is a group in Cuba, and this was a group that was in Central Asia several years ago. People from five different stands all around in South America, Central Asia. The face of missions is changing, and really that is very, very exciting. And that shift is important because around the world, the main area of unreached people groups is in this crescent. We can go to it. Yeah, there we are. It used to be called the 1040 window, and I'll just explain why I don't use the 1040 window, because it cuts off right here. It goes from here north, and it doesn't include Indonesia, which is the most populous Muslim nation on earth with 175 million Muslims. So I've styled it as the Muslim crescent. But 95% of the world's unreached people live here, the area of greatest danger and poverty and worst treatment of women, lowest literacy rate, all of those issues, and political unrest and strife. And I suppose there's a reason why it's the last places for the gospel to really penetrate. It's not easy. It's difficult. But this is the present challenge of missions, is to get there. And it isn't that our access is restricted when we say restricted access nations. It's that the people who live there, their access to the gospel is restricted because there's nobody there to tell them about Jesus. If there's no churches, if there's no Bible in their language, if there's no believers there or no missionaries there to tell, they don't have access to the gospel. It said right now, the present state of the missions is that 85% of Muslims who are alive today will never meet a real live Christian. 85% will never get to meet someone like you. Carries the glory of God, the peace of God, the hope of Christ in a clay jar, and can show them what life could be like for them if they knew Jesus. They'll never meet a real life Christian. We need more workers. It's the most pressing need on earth today. So this is the challenge of missions, and that's why we need to be releasing missionaries from all the rest of the world instead of just from North America. We started this ministry. There's our first brochure. It was in Russian. It was in 2003 that we started this ministry called Svet Narodom, which is light for the nations, to take the gospel and to prepare workers to take the gospel out to other countries. And we have been privileged to serve with churches and to mobilize workers in all of these different countries here that are represented. Some were short-term ones, some were 4 or 5 or 6 or 7 week-long courses, but we've been able to serve them. And when I look at that list, it's like popcorn in my heart. Because you know what that means? It means from all of those places, people are going out to take the gospel. They're going to give more and more people access to Jesus, to hear about Jesus, and to know about him. And so that's what it's all about. It's all about multiplying workers for the harvest so that other people can know about the Lord. You would know if you've been here, or when I was here before, that Ukraine was where we first started in ministry. We lived there 7 years, and it has continued to be a place for training. This is Brother Volodya. He and his wife served in Siberia, Ukrainian missionaries to Siberia for 25 years, started over 100 churches out in Siberia through the people they discipled and that, and then finally the Russian government got tired of it and they deported him. So he came down to northwestern Ukraine, and he can't go out there and church plant and that sort of thing anymore. So he started a missions training center up in northwestern Ukraine, up near the Polish border. And I was there last year, and they had 60. This was their first group, 65 candidates wanting to be trained to be missionaries. So they kicked out Volodya, and they're going to get 65 back. Hallelujah. you can't stop. You can't stop the Lord's work. You can't stop the Lord. Who can stop the Lord Almighty, we sing, right? Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Hallelujah. And so it's a joy to be able to serve and to have been able to serve people, people like Volodya in Ukraine. And another place that we've been going, this is just two examples, let's go ahead there, is Romania. I've been partnering with Kairos, Agencia Kairos Romania, and they work with the Pentecostal churches and Brethren churches. Working together. God has put it on the heart of the Brethren Church and the Pentecostal Church in Romania to start sending that. Romania will be a mission sending country. And that's what's really happened. That's what this is all about. The Lord is turning receiving countries into sending countries. And so these are smaller groups. That was a large group up there in Ukraine. This is just, they usually have 12 or 13 or 14 students. And it's so neat to get with these kids. I mean, pardon me calling them kids, but you know, my age, I can't. Like this gal is a linguist. She's going to be a Bible translator. This gal is a midwife. She wants to go somewhere, just nowhere yet, and maybe Indonesia, she was talking about, to work with women as a midwife. And this young fella is a welder and didn't quite know what God could do with him until he realized, well, you know, he could go to a poor city somewhere where there's lots of poor boys, and he could open a welding training center. Like if he got really good certification as a welder, go into that and start training them and give them a meaningful way of employment, of supporting themselves and the gospel and then their families and so on like that. So Reuben is his name, and he was pretty excited by the time we finished. I was just there in the end of November. This is the last group that I taught there. So it doesn't matter, small group, large groups, as long as they're serious. And if they're going to go, you know, we want to serve them. Now, what's happened since I was here last is that we got asked by head office to go to Cuba to provide the missions training for the Cuban Assemblies of God. And if you've been seeing our newsletters, you'll have seen this. I think the picture might even be out there. But here's Pastor Moises de Prada, and he was the missions director for the Cuban Assemblies of God. He has now just been elected general superintendent. But this is the group praying for the countries that they were being sent to. I mean, what a glorious day we are living in to think that Cuba, communist Cuba, is a mission sending country now. I mean, 60 years they've been under communism, just oppressed. I mean, seriously. But you know, when you push down on the church, it's like some kind of substance. It just oozes out. It doesn't get crushed. It just oozes out. And I'll tell you what, the church is on fire there. There's more churches in Cuba than there are in our assemblies in Canada. And when they get unleashed on the world, it's going to be a powerful day. Let's go to the next picture. You see them in, this is our classroom. And on the right-hand side, oh, you just see her over there on the right-hand side. It's Lois at the very edge there. She's teaching language acquisition, how to learn language. Not in formal ways, but with the national people so that you're learning with people. Language learning isn't preparation for ministry. It is ministry. If you're in relationship with people, you grow into their culture. You get to know each other. You become friends. You can pray for them and so on. So she's teaching them all about how to learn language in that picture. We finished a year of training with the 75 first candidates. And then in November just passed, we did a special fourth session. We brought two brothers of our training team, one from India and one from North Africa, and they taught on this smaller group of 25 that feel called to go to Muslim nations. And so we taught on understanding life and ministry amongst Muslims, and also business as mission, business for transformation. It was a powerful time together, and this is the group that's going to be going to that Muslim Crescent area as the Lord releases them. That is so, so very exciting to us. We're thankful for it. Now, word got out from Cuba and went down to Argentina, and in Cordoba, they were just opening Cordoba, central Argentina, way down South America, and they have just opened a brand new mission training center, and we're really short of trainers, and they heard about what we were doing in Cuba, so they invited me to go down there. So I went down with Otto Perez. Otto is a POC pastor from Waterloo, and he and his wife are moving into missions, and they're partnering with us, and they're teaming with us. He's from Cuba originally. His wife is from Colombia. She's the daughter of a Colombian mother and a Palestinian Muslim father who's still Muslim. And so we're working together and meeting with this group, and it's a small group, but this is more with their Bible college. The actual students we were training is about half that size, 12 or 13. That young couple that I'm sitting with there, they're feeling called to Pakistan. I mean, some of these people are going to be going to some tough places. So the Lord moved us down from Cuba, and then he opened up Cordoba in central Argentina. And then they got excited about the course, went down to the main Bible college for all of Latin America. It's in Buenos Aires in Argentina. And they called and asked if we could come and teach. And Murray Cornelius was talking with me at General Conference, and he said, Les, why are you going to Buenos Aires? Why are you? They got a Bible college there. They got a four-year missions course already. And I said, I don't know, Murray, but they heard about the course, and they asked me to come. So there must be a reason why they want it. So I'm going because they invited me, but I felt the Lord was in it. Anyway, this is the small group. This is the 15 kids or so that are in their, they were in their fourth year. They graduated 2 weeks after this, and they're just going hither and yon, all kinds of places. And they've invited us back again in September. So the Lord is opening up South America, and South America is getting mobilized even more for missions now. We're talking about multiplying workers, eh? And the seed scattering, it's just wonderful. And I can show you on a map here where we're aware of where our graduates, the countries that people who have taken our training are serving. So 15 years of doing this teaching part-time and all these different places. And, you know, thank the Lord. You know what that says to me? More people have access to the gospel as these people are going. And actually, if the next one, yes, the next one, I believe, we'll show you with the black dots, once the people that we have taught in Cuba and Argentina go, that's the countries that are going to be served once they get going in the next couple of years. So the coverage is multiplying, and thank the Lord for that. 2 weeks ago, we never would have expected this when we started in ministry, that is for sure. 2 weeks ago, got a call from the Assemblies of God in Dominican Republic, and their mission committee asked if I would come down and talk about doing with Dominican Republic what we've done in Cuba. So now we have an agreement with the missions department of the Dominican Republic to serve them, and it was amazing. I'm going to show you a 3-minute video where you'll hear the missions director talking about what is for them. But it was like, for years, she's just told me, for years they've been trying to find somebody that could provide training. Somebody who with experience, people with experience, not just people teaching out of a book okay, like an academic program, and they couldn't find anybody. And they had set a goal as a committee that they wanted to send 20 new missionaries in 2020. This year rolled around. Here we are now, 2019, 1 year away, and they were throwing up their hands in despair and just saying, "I guess it's just not going to happen. We're not going to make it." And then we met, and God moved in. So let's just hear what Arisela has to say. Now, I just put this together, a little video. There's no sound except when she's talking, but go ahead to the video. So there we are, flying into Dominican Republic. This isn't a travel video, but a call for training came. This was just, like I said, 2 weeks ago. And here we are walking on the campus. That was Otto Perez there. This is the campus and the national headquarters of the Assemblies of God. And there's their head office there. An open door.
And now, as you're working with our missions department, is an answer to our prayers.
Porque misiones tiene el reto de capacitar lo que vamos a enviar al campo.
Because we have a great need of equipping and training the missionaries that we want to send out as a church.
Tenemos años tratando de hacer alianzas estratégicas con otros ministerios.
We have been trying for years to establish strategic alliances with other ministries that would help us with training.
Y no había sido posible.
And we had not been able to accomplish that.
Por eso creemos que es el tiempo oportuno de Dios.
So that's why we feel so excited to see God's timing in this.
Y ustedes son los instrumentos de Dios para,
and you are the instruments of God that are coming
para ser parte de lo que Dios va a hacer desde República Dominicana a las naciones.
To be a part of what God is going to do from Dominican Republic to the rest of the world.
Dios ha puesto en nuestro corazón 20 misioneros en el campo o de salida para el 2020.
God has placed in our hearts a goal of having 20 missionaries sent or ready to be sent by 2020.
Y estábamos pensando que humanamente no era posible.
And we thought this is not going to be impossible for us.
Porque la respuesta de la iglesia todavía no la hemos logrado.
Because we are still nurturing the Dominican church with a missions vision.
Pero tampoco los candidatos están listos para ir por capacitación
and
y entrenamiento.
The candidates that we've been able to identify, they have not been trained yet.
O sea que agradecemos a Dios.
So we are so grateful to God.
El que ustedes respondieran a que Dios los enviara a República Dominicana.
You are also responding to God to come here to Dominican Republic and to work with us.
Para que nosotros los dominicanos,
so that we the Dominicans,
podamos responder
would be a part
cuando Dios nos envía a las naciones,
of their response to being sent to the nations.
Pero con excelencia.
But we want to do it with excellence.
El Ministerio Nacional de Misiones de acá,
National Missions Ministry,
tiene como visión,
has a vision,
la excelencia en la selección, capacitación y envío de misioneros a las naciones.
To be excellent in the selection, in the equipping, and in the sending of global workers.
Y cuando leí dentro de todo el material que ustedes nos dieron, vi, oh, tienen la excelencia también.
Yeah, I noticed that your values and our values concur so well together.
Y al compartir con el misionero también les pasé junto a Otoniel.
And having shared with missionary
todo
Paul,
el día de
Paulson
hoy,
and Otto today,
diciéndonos que la cuál es el currículo y todo, decíamos, oh, eso es.
We kept
eso
just
es.
Affirmation after affirmation.
Así que gracias por enviarnos.
So thank you for coming to us.
Amén.
Yes, it really was. That still moves. It just moves me again to think these poor people have a vision and a passion, and they don't have the possibility, you know. And then to sit down with them and just say, the Lord has brought us together, and we're going to be able to serve them. We're there to serve them. They told me they met people from one agency, and we'll go to that one in a second. But just hold it. It's fine. Thank you. That said, they would do the training. They thought, great, it looked really good. But they said to them, when we train your missionary, the students will become our missionaries. They'll come and work with us. People we train come and work with that agency. And they went, we said, that's not right. You know, it was such a disappointment for them. I had no idea that they'd been through this. And when we were starting to meet, the first thing that I said to them was, you know, after greetings, you know, was saying, you know, I want you to understand, if we come, if we work together, we are here to serve you. We're just here to serve you. We will never take, we never, anywhere that we've gone, take students and make them our missionaries. You get to have the joy of sending and supporting and having the missionaries from Dominican. God wants the Dominican Republic not be just a receiving country. Once you've received, you've got to lift your eyes and see, and then, you know, it's time to send. And what a joy. So we're going to be going down there 2 or 3 times over the next year. The plan right now is that school will be run 5 weeks. It's going to be a 5-week-long intensive training in May of 2020. But between now and then, they're going to call back the 7 missionaries that have been sent with the only mission training they've had is 2 introductions to World Missions courses that they took at their Bible college. That's it. And Aracela told me they're weary and they're wounded and they're feeling broken and burned out. And they're going to bring them back for a special retreat where we're going to get our POC missionaries that are in Dominican Republic working with us and have a special week, like a retreat with their missionaries. And then we also are going to be training their 30 reps from around the island that are there to promote missions because they haven't had any training. And we're just believing God's going to do something just really, really, I think, wonderful there in Dominican Republic. Now, this is the last one. I've got a question for you. Let's say you realize that there were several hundred million unreached peoples in these 5 countries, which is true. Myanmar, used to be Burma, Bangladesh, Nepal, Bhutan, and Tibet. How could we reach them? Like, okay, we're a strategic thinking committee here this morning. Like, what could we do? What would be our strategic approach? How on earth could we possibly do something that could reach 5 countries? I mean, wouldn't it be awesome if we could? 5 for 1, you know? Kill 2 birds with 5 birds with 1, you know? What would you think? What would be a good strategic plan that could help us, enable us to reach 5 countries almost at once? You kind of feel something's coming, I guess, don't you? Yeah. Let's go to the next slide. And now, when I heard about those 5 countries, I was thinking, like, this is the way I picture India. You see the white lines? That's roughly the borders of India. I always pictured India was like that. That it just kind of comes down smooth like that to the Indian Ocean. Do you picture India that way too? That's all I would ever see was this kind of like a diamond shape or whatever, you know, like this smooth. But it's not. That's not it for India. That is India too. Kabang, Kajing. There's a little strait here. You know a strait from Newfoundland. You know, but it's a strait of land that comes here between India, Nepal, and Bangladesh, over Bhutan, and then into this area that's right smack dab in the middle of 5 unreached countries. Don't you just think that the sovereign God is up to something, maybe? As it turns out, we found out why we went to Argentina. It wasn't just to teach that class or to preach in their chapel. There's a young couple from Argentina. Go ahead. There they are. Diego and Daisy Alvarez. And the Lord sent them from Argentina to that area, and they live right there. Smack dab in the middle. This is a city of 2 million people in a state of 33 million people. In this little area, there are 7 states. 4 of them are majority Christian, 90% Christian population. Yes, Pam, amen. It's an amen. 4 of them are majority Christian. Okay? The one they live in isn't, because they said they want to be among the unreached. 33 million people in that one state, in the city there where the sun is, where they are shining. It's called Guwahati. And for for a foreigner to go to Bhutan. I got an invitation to Bhutan a few years ago, and I didn't take it. There was just something didn't feel right about it. But I've learned since, to go to Bhutan costs you $200 a day for the visa to visit that country. It is so closed, so closed. You picture Tibet, China. You picture Nepal, Bangladesh, these areas. This is tough stuff for a Canadian to get to. But these Argentinians are there, and they've realized, after 6 years they've lived there, that their job actually wasn't to go there and win Indians. It was that the Lord wants them to train national Indians as missionaries. So by faith, this young couple has started building a mission training center with no curriculum, with no program, no trainers, nobody, no connections. I won't name the assemblies of God that they work with, but they won't help them because they don't have a Western missionary on the ground. So they're not getting any help. But by faith, they're building a mission training center. Like, if we build it, they will come kind of thing, you know. Just believe it. It's from God. We have to get ready, and the Lord's going to send somebody to help us. And when I was in Argentina at Buenos Aires last time, I met this young couple. Somebody told them about this class, and they came to the class, and we sat and talked. And it was like unbelievable what was going on in my heart when I heard about this, because Diego told me and Daisy told me, they said, you Indians can travel to all five of those countries without visas. Those borders are open for them, and they can drive to all five of them from Guwahati. They're all within driving distance. I mean, gold mine for missions. This is like you've hit the mother load. I mean, wow, I mean, just can't imagine we get to do this, you know. So I want you to meet Diego and Daisy, and so this is a 6-minute video. You're getting a lot of videos today. I've never done this before. I hope that you can tolerate it, but I want you to just hear them talking about it, okay, and just see what the Lord says to you about them and this venture of faith. All right.
Hello, my name is Diego from Argentina, my wife Daisy from Colombia. I have two children, one from India, one from Argentina. And we go to India to be a missionary from the Mission Department of Assembly of God, Argentina. And we are settled in Northeast India, especially here, Guwahati. The Guwahati is the more populated city. 2 million people in Guwahati, and 31 million people in the state.
You're the first missionaries there, aren't you?
Officially, yes. We are working there with the superintendent, general superintendent, all the churches, 283 churches from us. Many people.
No mission training.
The best strategy is not the us preach the gospel, the Indians preach the gospel. But for that, we need training them, no? Because the Indians need the tools. For that, our plan is open a mission training center there.
So yes.
The training will be in cross-cultural, yes. Because we are in a place where is the tribal belt.
Yes.
Every 5 kilometers, you get different tribes.
Yes.
Example, the place where we are constructed our mission training center, there is a Mongolian tribe.
Yes.
So our plan is put the training in a place where people live mission, cross-cultural mission.
Mm-hmm.
So the plan is training the leaders, open new churches in different tribes where is no one church. And our big vision is send missionaries outside the India also.
Yeah, okay.
Because we have 5 borders. We have Nepal, Bhutan, Myanmar, China, and Bangladesh.
Now we are doing the more important thing is the construction of the mission training center. This is the first building that we are constructing now. Yes, the pastors and leaders are helping us in the construction.
We are doing everything by our hands.
Yes.
It's not like one white people come and put all money and everything is ready. No, this is, we are doing together because it's for you, so you have to work hard for your place.
All the pastors go every day, 8 o'clock morning till 5, we working together in construction. 7-8 months, maybe we can start to the training. Not with the building perfect, but we can start. But we don't want start with big quantity of members.
Mm-hmm.
We want to start just only with 20 maybe or maximum 30 person, And we see after we can put more people.
Where are the missionaries that you want to train going to come from?
In Nagaland, Manipur, and Mizoram, and Meghalaya are Christian state. 90% are Christian. For that is very strategic because we have the Christian to receive the trainings.
So you're not really trying to evangelize this area, you're
no.
going to work with the churches to mobilize them for mission.
Yes, because we have Christians there, we mobilize them and we training them to after send to Bhutan, send to China, send to Myanmar, send to Bangladesh, send to Nepal.
Yes.
Indians can cross to Bhutan easily. If I go to Bhutan, because I am Argentina, I need to pay $200 every day.
Oh, Bhutan is a hard country.
Yeah, but Indian people don't need pay and can cross. Also to Nepal, can cross. To Burma, very easily. Just people cross only.
Wow.
Yeah. For that is a strategic place. We have the people for receive training, we have the borders, everything there. Right?
And also I direct flights
Bhutan,
to other
yeah.
places.
Wow.
But example, from my house to Bhutan, in 4 hours I can go there in car. It's just 300 kilometers from here.
Wow.
Yeah.
What about the language for training?
Then we can make in English because most of the people speak English and they speak so many languages, but the training we can give in English.
Uh-huh. And do you have trainers available or you need trainers?
I need trainers. We need people that come to India and help us to train, give the training to Indians. No?
Because we are alone there, so we are the only one that is there. So I think face and training by ourselves is a big challenge.
Do you have a curriculum, a program, or you need a program?
No, we need a program because we need doing everything, you know.
No,
we have the place, we have the people, but we don't have the trainers and the material.
The reality is that everything starts in our place. We pray, God give the vision, big vision. When my husband shared to me that vision, I become crazy because God give a bomb. And then we start by faith, and now we are walking by faith. God is providing and everything is going on, but now the faith, the big challenge is, okay, now we are here.
Mm-hmm. How long have you been in India?
6 years.
My baby born in
India, and the little one, Argentina.
And how did you learn English?
In India.
Yeah.
In the street with the people.
Oh, that's sorry for our English. It's
yes.
Indian English.
You've got a good Indian accent. Anything else you want to say?
Pray for us. Pray for us and come. We need people. The more.
Wow. There you have Guwahati.
Well, as we would say in Russian, wow. My heart just says, like, wow, what we have walked into here. You know, this young couple, all the way from Argentina, in that little part of India I didn't even know existed, with those 5 countries surrounded, and they're just right there. It's like, I just can tell you this honestly, I've never met anybody like these two. I have no reason to exaggerate this or to pop up this balloon or anything like that. Just to say, when I meet people and we get talking about mission training and they want to be senders, there's always something that's a little off, and you have to sort of nudge it, you have to sort of massage it a bit, correct it, and, you know, make suggestions of better approaches and stuff like this. With this couple, it was just check, 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 check. I mean, they're just spot on in terms of heart, in terms of vision, in terms of the approach, the decisions they're making. It was unbelievable to me. I've never in like this 20 years met anybody like these two. And the Lord has brought us together. It just seems so. That's how we found out, oh, I guess this is why we went to Argentina to get to Northeast India. So next month we're going to go back to Argentina. We're going to spend 3 or 4 days just going down there to spend 3 or 4 days with them, going through our whole program, our whole curriculum. I want them to understand all of the courses, the philosophy of ministry. We need to make sure we're on the same page. We're following the same kind of critical path, which I'm convinced that's going to be there. And it may be possible that they might actually become some of the trainers. They could actually do training. And that would be our ultimate goal. And then the first week of June or second week, somewhere in there, I'll be making a trip to Guwahati to go and check out the logistics. How do people get there? What are the facilities like? What it'll be like for teachers kind of coming? Because we bring teachers from around the world. They all just fly in and teach for a week and then go back, and we coordinate it. And so I'll make that kind of a scouting trip in June. There is one church in BC that heard about this, and they're interested maybe in sending a team to help them do the project. But I'll just say this, if anybody wants to come, I'd love to have somebody come with me on this trip and take a little delegation. One of the things that really impressed me about them is they didn't say, you know, there's these seven states with the assemblies and all the superintendents, but they don't understand, so you don't need to meet them. They said to me, if you come, we'll introduce you to all seven of the district superintendents, and they'll have you speak in their churches. They're going to want to meet you. And I went, bang, oh, these guys are under authority. They're accountable. I thought it was just, what can I say? Sick them to a Doberman, you know? Yeah. So here's the great challenge we're facing now, and that is that we need to build our global roving, we need to build our team. Because, I mean, it's clear, okay, I turned 65 in the fall, and, you know, I'm starting to feel that. I feel that bony finger coming out from under the black cloak saying, come to Papa, you know. So it's time we got to get something done before... before that happens. And the thing to do now is we need to be training. So I'm in touch with the different regional directors. I just talked to Steve Herzog this week and Mark Hazard for Latin America and Peter Dove and Jonathan Willoughby down in Southeast Asia. And we're starting to talk about getting some of our POC workers from around the world and training trainers. And I don't know how that's going to look yet, how that's going to happen, but we really need to do it so that we can increase our capacity to serve this magnificent thing that the Holy Spirit is doing in our generation. I mean, you will not see this on the news. You'll never hear about it, you know, but this is the world as it is today. This is what God is doing. And isn't it exciting that we get to be part of it? By the way, he's got that on his face because he's from a restricted access nation, and I want to respect his security concerns. So let me just end by saying thank you again for helping us to multiply workers for the harvest. And this is what you're part of, guys. 20 years in, and it's come to that point. And what a great can to kick down the road a little bit farther, eh? So thank you for standing with us. Thank you for praying with us. And Pastor, we don't have time for a sermon today, but I think we're probably okay. Have you heard from the Lord? Are you hearing and speak to you at all? Do you feel what you're part of? You're gonna, if there's a reward in this, you're gonna share in it. You know, we're gonna stand together. We are gonna stand together in front of the throne of God, somewhere in that vast crowd. You guys will probably be ahead. I'll be watching you from behind, and you're gonna hear people saying thank you. In different languages. Thank you. Every tribe, every people, every language is going to be there. And multiples of them are going to be there because you invested with what we're doing and Gordon, the rest of us. Gordon and I work together closely. Steve is going to be, Steve wants to be trained as a trainer, Steve Herzog. You know, like, I mean, this is exciting. You know, God's people working together. Nobody owns this. This is the Lord's work. And they're going to come up behind you and they're going to thank you. And we're going to say, glory to the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Worthy, worthy is he. Father, I thank you for this time when I could be back with our friends in Chauvin after so many years again. And we look back and see what you have done, what you have been doing in the world. In these last couple of years especially, Lord, we see these places, these impossibilities. That you're just breaking down the walls and you're making the impossible happen. That these poor nations, these poorly educated, in some cases, nations, these persecuted nations that have a church in them, and the churches are looking beyond their pain and they're looking beyond their poverty and they're looking beyond their impossibilities to your hand upon them. And your love filling their hearts that they're so enjoyed, so filled of the joy of the Lord that they just know they can't contain it. They can't keep it to themselves. And they're lifting their eyes to the harvest. And Lord, you're going to connect them. We know it's so wonderful to us because they're going to be able to connect with peoples that will be so difficult for Canadians to reach to. We thank you for what you're doing, Holy Spirit. We pray for our brothers and sisters in Dominican Republic today. Lord, would you just stand with me as we pray? Would you just, let's just amen together and pray, Lord, for those people, Aracela and that team in Dominican Republic, Lord. Thank you for their vision. Thank you, Lord, for their perseverance and persevering with this vision, even though it just came to the breaking point for them. And Lord, we could walk in there and give them hope, and that they know their hope is not going to disappoint them. It's going to be fulfilled because it's from you. And they're going to have the joy of sending missionaries. They're going to have the joy of seeing people come to Jesus, whole nations or people groups, Lord, ethnicities. And for the Church of Cuba that's going through a change right now with Moises becoming general superintendent, a new director of missions, Lord, this isn't just structural or organizational stuff, Lord. You're moving the players around on the board, Lord, and we pray for them in their poverty, that their vision for nation reaching, Lord, would not fail, that you would help them, Lord, to find the ways and the approaches that you have for them to be able to reach to the nations you're going to send them to Turkey, Lord, to India, to North Africa, oh God, to so many difficult, to Syria, to Norway, to different places, Lord, you want to send them. And we thank you for what's erupting out of Argentina and for the work you're doing in little Romania and Armenia and in Ukraine that's at war. Oh, Lord, help us not to take for granted the peace and the prosperity and the passport that you've given to us. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for Pastor Peter and for Joan, Lord, and for all the workers here, for the brothers and sisters that are here in Chauvin. And, Lord, I just pray that you would enlarge their tent, Lord, and continue to expand their ability to serve and to do something, Lord, that's going to impact nations. Bless them, Lord. Fill this place with the sense of your presence. When they come together, it isn't just them coming together. We're coming into the presence of the King of Glory. And Lord, would you just fill this place with praises that when people visit, people who need Jesus, people whose lives are broken, that when people come, maybe they'll just think it's from Mars because it's so culturally different, raising hands and praising the Lord. But God, they'll be drawn to you because they're going to sense you are here. Just like your word says, surely God is among these people when they sense your Holy Spirit. May your blessing be upon your church, Lord, here in Chauvin and in the area around. We commit it to you. We commit ourselves to you, Lord. So thankful and so grateful, Lord, that we get a chance to serve you in our generation. In the name of Jesus, all God's people said, amen. Thank you.
Thank you, Les. I'd like to pray for them. Father, we just thank you for this couple that has given so much of their life.